Welcome to an all-new episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Thank you so much for joining us. Of course, we are in the midst of the SJHL final. We'll have a full recap of games one and two, preview games three and four, and we're also going to be joined by Battleford's North Stars starting net miner Josh Cote, get his thoughts on the first two games in the series and much, much more. So let's dive right into it. And we have to bring in one of our co-hosts here in studio, Mr. Jamie Neugebauer. Jamie, how are we doing today? How was your, well, I know how your weekend was. I'm not going to ask how your weekend was, but how was your relaxing Sunday at home after the trip to Battleford's?
Yeah, it was really good. I think I slept a lot. So that's great.
Fair enough.
And I also just want to very quickly say a big time shout out. You just mentioned it, but I'm going to shout it out. The Revelstoke Grizzlies.
Oh,
will be in the KI champions out there in BC. Joey Kuchaslow, the former Notre Dame Junior A Hound goalie. Ethan Mattern played some preseason for the Junior Hounds. And Carson Reinson was also at Notre Dame. But there you go. Congratulations to those guys.
I thought you were going to save that for Noogs and Notes.
Nope.
Right to it.
It's too important to me.
It is too important. And because we've been traveling so much, our other co-host, Mr. Rory McGoran, is at his palatial estate in Humboldt, Saskatchewan. Rory, how we doing?
Yeah, doing well. I'm not going to shout out anyone but the great people of Battleford's and Flin Flon for providing that atmosphere at the ACC for games one and two. Can't wait to break it down. But yeah, what a great start to the finals. Those games were electric.
It was electric, to say the least. And yes, games one and two, Friday and Saturday in North Battleford. Of course, game one saw the Battleford's North Stars walk away with a 5-2 victory over the Flin Flon Bombers. And before we break it down and talk about it, let's take a look at some of the highlights.
Jacob Fockler talked about him in the pregame, finds the bucket all the way down the distance.
Watch for Battleford to try to get the puck to number 27 in black.
Kylan Olofsson shoots and scores! The opening goal of the Kantara Seeds Finals goes to the Flin Flon Bombers, and it comes shorthanded. Ewer dusted off, back for Bell. One-timer, Southgate scores!
Backboards. Now Grill and Mercer come together. Tying into Ewers, he'll pick it up. He's calling for the stretch passes. Bear, there it is. Colby Bear, it's a breakaway, shoots and scores. Tying into Ewers, found him. Colby Bear, breakaway, and no mistake. And the North Stars got their first lead of the game. It's 2-1.
Tanner Gold, D to D. Isaac shoots, stop, laser Hume. Rebound. Back the other way. Bear, Klein, shoots, scores! A 3-on-2 for Flin Flon, unsuccessful. A 2-on-1 for Battleford, back the other way. And Keith Klein makes it 4-1, North Stars. Duff by Gullinchin. Bridger getting back in there. Stibby's calling for it. Sorry, Mercer's calling for it. Shot for the point, tip, big save, rebound, they score! Ethan Mercer's seventh of the playoffs. Traffic in front, it creates havoc, and it gets the Flin Flon Bombers back within two with 4-2. Down low, pressure now from Flin Flon. 6-on-5, they trail by 2, they got set up. Noah Houle, pass, broken up. Bear going for the empty net, and he has it! And the Battleford North Stars are going to take game one to the second of the game for Colby Bear. Third point on the night.
And before we talk about the game itself, we do have to mention that there was a scary incident in game one between the Battleford's North Stars and the Flin Flon Bombers involving Bombers defenseman Lucas Fry taking a skate blade to the wrist area. The good news, thanks to the quick action by all the medical staff in attendance at the ACC, Lucas was able to get to hospital, get the attention he needed, and he had surgery on Saturday. So we want to wish Lucas all the best. Our thoughts and prayers are with him, and obviously a huge loss for the Flin Flon Bombers, but we want to wish Lucas all the best. Noogsy, for game one, you could hear Noogsy on doing color with Rory. Noogsy, what was your impression of game one, a 5-2 win for the Battleford North Stars?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was the exact game model that the Battleford North Stars want. They want to get out and skate. They want to get out in transition. And they were hitting more than Flin Flon. They had 16 to 12 in hits. They were 14 to 8 in block shots. So the game kind of went the way Battleford's wanted in a lot of ways. You know, I think it was a bit of a nervous game for the Flin Flon Bombers. I don't know if they responded extremely well to Lucas Fry's situation, and hard to blame kids for, you know, yeah, their captain, their leader, you know, going down like that. So, you know, I'm not criticizing them too much for that. But, you know, nerves turned into three straight Battleford's power plays to start this game, and then you're behind the eight ball. And that really, I think, tells a lot of the story.
Rory, yeah, to build off what Noogsy just said, you know, it's so tough to, you know, come back on the Battleford's North Stars. And it was a bit of a slow start for them, but once they got the ball rolling, it was really downhill for them the rest of the way.
Yeah, you know, the Battleford's North Stars have never been trailing in these postseasons after the first period. They've either been tied or they've been ahead. So that's why they've won 10 games in a row. No one seems to be able to come back from behind against the Battleford's North Stars. Flin Flon's going to have to find a way to do that in the Whitney Forum. If we're just focusing on game one, didn't like it from the Bombers' perspective. I thought they were a little sloppy. They were a little loose in the neutral zone. They turned over too many pucks and they missed too many assignments, evident by that Colby Bear one coming back. And you just don't see the Bombers' defensemen getting burned through the middle like that often. Mm-hmm. So maybe Noogsy said a little bit of nerves, a little bit of, you know, just a lack of judgment calls on some of these plays because your energy and your adrenaline is just so high. But I did like how they settled down in game two. I thought they were much better, but if we're just focusing on game one, Kyle and Olofsson, a great little jump on that shorthanded play, but then Battleford's, they woke up after that and their power play was rolling in both games. But Flin Flon, I think, just wasn't ready to skate with the North Stars in game one and they turned over too many pucks. So Battleford's going to make you pay better than any team when you do that.
Yeah, great points, Rory. They make you pay when you make decisions that are a little bit tentative, when you make decisions that aren't hard decisions and smart decisions. What we saw in game two, and we'll get to that, was the complete opposite, was, you know, more physical, more fronting the puck, more stopping the play. We'll get into that in a second. But in the first game, as a result of being a little bit soft, making softer decisions over the blue lines, over different lines, different situations, that turned into 20 counterattack shots on goal for the Battleford's North Stars on Flin Flon. That is not a good number. Mike Reagan does not want that. His team averaged just over 5 a game against in terms of counterattack shots on goal. So if you give Battleford's 20 counterattack shots on goal, you're asking for trouble. Now, as I mentioned, the game model, what I mean by that was there was a lot of counterattacks both ways. Flin Flon had some opportunities as well. Obviously, that Richmond chance, they had a 3-on-2, and you didn't capitalize and you didn't turn it into a board battle or muck it up or something. The puck just rolls around and comes back, and it's a 2-on-1 for Keaton Klein and Colby Bear. And boy, that line with Jordan Grill was unbelievable for Battleford's, especially in game one. But you mentioned it, Rory, whether it's nerves, whether it's not dealing well mentally with the Fry situation, whatever it was. Obviously, I'm not going to just go and assume that I'm in their minds, but it wasn't Flin Flon Bomber hockey, and that's what they were saying after the game.
No, it definitely wasn't Flin Flon Bomber hockey, but Rory alluded to it. Game two, which was a much better performance for the Flin Flon Bombers, but unfortunately, it was a 3-0 result in favor of the Battleford's North Stars. And before we get into breaking down game number two, let's take a look at some of those highlights.
Right along the goal line, and the referee is describing
was chopped out of his hands. Holden Doe with a great shot. Bouncing everywhere.
Cross-ice play and a diving. Alphonse Brecken out in front. Chance there for Klein. Out to Bell. Shoot!
So a 3-0 win for the Balfour's North Stars in game number two. They have a 2-0 series lead, with the series now shifting up to Flin Flon for games 3 and 4. Rory, you alluded to it earlier, a much better performance for the Flin Flon Bombers. They had plenty of scoring chances in that hockey game, but they just couldn't beat Josh Côté.
Yeah, I think when you look at the highlight pack and you see all these, you know, nice Battlefields North Stars goals, you're not seeing some of the incredible 36 saves that Josh Côté made. And, you know, for the Flin Flon Bombers, I thought they were the better team throughout majority of that 60 minutes. Did Battlefields capitalize on their chances? Sure, they did. But Flin Flon, I felt, was the better team in that game through a lot more of the time. They started the game with 3 straight power plays. If they score on one of those, they're completely changing the trajectory of the rest of the game. They haven't. They haven't scored on their last 24 power plays, something they need to get going. But it was a much better game in terms of cleaning things up, as Noogsy said in our pregame show, making things a little bit more of a muckier game, trying to, you know, just grime it up a bit, which you got to do against the Battlefords North Stars. I thought they did a good job. Neutral zone transition, turnovers, limiting those. It was all better for Flin Flon, but they ran into Josh Côté, the league's MVP goaltender. So that's just how the story of the game went, and they're going to try to find a way to solve them in the Whitney Forum. But that was more of the blueprint to beating the Battlefords North Stars when they played on Saturday in game 2.
Yeah, I talked to Mike Reagan a little bit this morning, and you know, it, just even from watching some of the highlight clips, guys, or just watching, you know, the camera operation during the game film on Reagan, you know, he wanted his team to win, obviously, like, but there's no panic from the Flin Flon Bombers after game 2, especially. And you said it, Rory, like, they were really, really good. You know, even the power play, and you mentioned it, actually they're over the last 26, because they had 2 more power plays in that Humboldt game 2. Was the last time that they scored back on April 1st. But so they're over their last 26. But even then, they had 12 power play shots on their 5 chances, and a lot of them were very good. You know, I think one of the there was a bunch of great Côté saves, a bunch of great Flin Flon chances, Jeremy, Rory, in this game, that, you know, any one of those, you know, can go in. It changes the trajectory. You know, it's a 3-0 game for you know, by the end, but it was tight stuff throughout. And you know, again, hard to blame Harmon Leeser Hume for a couple of those gritty, grimy goals, but, you know, Josh Côté, I don't know what more you can say. You know, 3 playoff shutouts already. He had 3 total in the regulation. You know, if you're shutting people out in the finals, obviously, like, Captain Obvious, you know, that's good news. But yeah, it was a totally different game. It was Flin Flon Bomber hockey. They interviewed Jacob Vaucler after the second period. You know, he said, yesterday we didn't execute our game plan. Tonight we're playing Bomber hockey. That's what he basically said. So, you know, I think, you know, going back home to Flin Flon, coming off of an effort like that and a performance like that, I don't know if you guys agree, but I think that, you know, there's no reason to panic if you're in Bomber Nation.
I think when it comes to, we touched on the Flin Flon Bomber power play, Rory did a bit, being 0 for 24 in the last 4 games. But on the flip side of that, for these first 2 games, and really the second round, and since the first 2 games of the playoffs, the Balfour North Stars penalty kill has been much improved. We talked about that going into the postseason, that, you know, for a team that was first place in the SJHL, their penalty kill wasn't near the top of the league. Rory, what have you seen from their penalty kill and its improvement?
Yeah, I think it's funny when we were watching that and Flin Flon went 0 for 5 in game 2. I think I said to Noogsy, I'm like, well, Battlefords just killed off 4 of them and Josh Côté just killed off this one. So, you know what? Like, Flin Flon got their looks in game 2, but the goaltender has to be your best penalty killer. Battlefords is being a lot more aggressive along the top. They know that Flin Flon likes to work it up top and try to move it to Cole Dupreau on the side. They're really kind of taking that away, forcing them to change up. We saw them do that in game 1, going into the bumper to Jeremy Tremblay a little bit. So they are trying to mix it up a lot on the power play, but Battleford's just stepping up that aggressiveness a little bit, and it is working. And then, I mean, the cream of the crop, they're pulling it right out of the Flin Flon Bombers bag and blocking shots, man. Battleford's just getting in front of these lanes and blocking a lot of them too. So, yeah, with blocking shots, a little more aggression, and then Josh Cote as a safety valve, that's why their penalty kill is now at 89% as opposed to 78% we saw in the regular season.
Yeah, to your point, Rory, a lot of times in the regular season, Jeremy, like, you can have kind of your plan A, plan B look that you like. You know, they like finding Cole Ducharme for a one-timer with his left shot on the right. And we saw that time after time. Flin Flon tried to go back to that. And somebody like Jordan Gibbs or Tynan Ewart or somebody was just right up on Cole Ducharme and said, hey, you know, Flin Flon, if you're gonna keep doing that all night, we'll eat it. That's fine. We'll go off the shin pad. We'll knock it down the ice. We've got great team speed. We'll forecheck you to death. That's fine. So the challenge was on Flin Flon to try to figure out something different. Good things happen. You get shots through. Pucks to the front of the net, simple greasy things, and that's the goals that went in for Battleford's. You know, again, as I said, I think Mike Reagan's not upset. There was some confidence brewing. I think they figured something out maybe on that fifth power play. If they can continue that going, boys, then I think then Mike Reagan is a good enough coach, first of all. And we talked about, you know, being excited about this schedule, that, you know, specifically with a power play penalty kill situation, but all types of systems, you can look at them, break them down, see how do we change, how do we get better. And Mike Reagan is a little evil genius when it comes to special teams just in general. So, you know, I expect Flin Flon to have a bunch of wrinkles for game three.
Yeah, definitely some positives for the Flin Flon Bombers to build off of in game two. Unfortunately, they head back to the Whitney Forum, trailing the best of seven series 2-0. Now, before we go to break, Noogs, yeah, I understand you have a quick edition of Noogs yes. and Notes.
Yeah, tried to keep it quick. Couple big pieces of news, actually. The first one, very excited and happy news for the league. Dawson Smith, the fine goaltender for the L'Orange Ice Wolves, second in save percentage, second in goals against. He is committed to Western Michigan University, NCAA D1. So congratulations. Next year we need like a commitment bell or whatever. When we announce a bell, we could be like ding, 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 ding. So we got a D1 commit there to Dawson Smith, going with Ty Mason, of course, of the Weyburn Red Wings. And I understand Dawson's going next year. That's my understanding. So that'll be interesting. A lot of good goalies down at Western Michigan. So he'll be in a dogfight, but we all believe in Dawson Smith. Incredible kid. One of the best interviews we had. So congratulations, Mr. Smith. And then the second piece, couple hours before the show, Jeremy, it came out that Mike Rooney, the head coach and GM of the Melville Millionaires, is out, and he's going to take a job, or he's taking a job with Trailblazer Agency here in Saskatchewan with Wayne Kozier and others, and he's going to be a family advisor, whatever the technical safe term is. But I did joke with Runes right away that if he's representing broadcasters and wants to negotiate fees for me and stuff, that would be phenomenal. But all the best to Mike Rooney. Obviously, Melville has a lot of young players that could return next year. So whoever he hands off the ball to, Jeremy and Rory, they could have a pretty full cupboard to work with and deal with and get a lot of draft picks. Obviously, the first overall pick in the SJHL draft this June. So, you know, all the best to Runes. We love you, man, and all the best.
Couple of big pieces of news from the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League in the last couple of days. And of course, if you want to learn more all about both those stories, you can head to sjhl.ca. After the break, we'll be pleased to be joined by Balfour's North Stars starting goaltender Josh Cote. Get his thoughts on the first two games of the SJHL final. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Welcome back to SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. It's Rory, Jamie, and Jeremy. Thanks so much for joining us. And we're going to head to the video chat line where we're pleased to be joined by starting goaltender for the Battleford's North Stars, Josh Cote. Josh, thanks so much for taking the time to join us today. We really appreciate it. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us today. Hey, obviously, two big wins for you guys to start the SJHL final. From a goalie's perspective, what did you think of your team's play?
No, I thought our team played really well. I thought, you know, we played fast, physical, and we really fed off the crowd, and the crowd was fantastic for us those first two games.
Josh, thank you so much for your time. You know, I got to ask you right off the hop, you know, one of my favorite save of the first two games, you know, Jaden Mercy has a wide open net. Somehow you get across with your head and you hit the fuck out with your head. If you made a save like that, take away an open net with your head,
I don't think I can say that in recent memory, no, but it was, yeah, it just got lucky, came from my head, so I kind of tucked the chin and went off the top of the noggin.
Just like your goalie coach show on a day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rory?
Yeah, you know, Josh, I kind of want to talk about the Battle for North Stars team as a whole. I mean, you know, you get to witness them, play behind them. We all talk about the offensive prowess that they have, right? Top four scores. But, I mean, I'm not sure people are forgetting that you guys also have the least goals against in the league. So how has that D-Corp been that you play behind every day? You know, the forwards are always back for support, but we talk about the offense. Let's talk about the defensive structure that you guys have had throughout the year.
Yeah, they've been fantastic in front of me, in front of Justin, my goalie partner. They really help us out by communicating really well, talking with us, and more importantly, blocking shots, making the right plays, getting pucks out for us, which limit chances against.
Josh, you alluded to it, but obviously it was an impressive atmosphere at the ACC for games one and two. Take us through your mind when you're leading the North Stars out for game one of the final and just coming out to that ovation and that electric atmosphere.
I think it was really just excitement to be in the position to have the home crowd for our first game and for our first two games, and to be able to just play in front of such a great fan base, and they just helped us out too throughout thick and thin throughout the whole year. So it was great to have everyone there for our support.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, for the people that don't know, you know, a bit of your story, you know, you played down south last year, you know, you come into the league this year, and it just seems like you've been so confident in yourself all year long. You know, obviously you got a great team in front of you, but the Balfour's North Stars aren't as dominant as they are without, you know, you and Justin doing what you guys do too. So, you know, just talk about where that confidence came from, and just quickly, you know, how important is it for you to kind of have the weight off your shoulders of having that D1 commit to, you know, to Augustana there in your pocket, that's not something you have to think about?
Yeah, no, I just go into every game being able to feel confident because I've put in the work, you know, through the week before and in the off season. It all started in the off season through training camp, and just really working hard to be better every day. It gives you confidence, I feel. And so I think that's what gave me that, and having a good team in front of me that I know that, you know, they have my back when I make mistakes, and I can have theirs in the same way. And, you know, being able to commit to Augustana was really big, and it was great that they were able to give me an opportunity for next year, and I'm really proud to be able to go to such a great organization.
Can you go in a little bit more about maybe what some of those discussions were like? I mean, for people that don't know, Augustana is going to be a new upstart Division I program next year. They've already picked up a couple people that me and Nugsy are familiar with, including yourself. What was it like talking to them, talking to your family, you know, an advisor, and landing with Augustana? Because that's, you know, a really cool opportunity, especially with a new program next year.
Yeah, it was a great opportunity to be able to kind of go in next year, and they have no commitments to anyone kind of before. So being able to just kind of go in there and be able to fight for positioning right off the bat was, I think, a huge part in why I wanted to go there. And just being able, they were a great coach in Garrett, and I feel like they're going to be able to turn some heads early, and he knows how to run a hockey team, and I think it's going to be a great opportunity to just go there and make that jump and get in games early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Josh, you know, I got the opportunity to watch your guys' morning skate, you know, as informal, I guess, as it kind of was, and Flin Flon was just a little bit more, I guess, of an intense one, but you guys were out there in sweats and whatever, looked like a pretty loose group. Jeremy was with me, and I think others, but anyways, you know, one thing that both Jeremy and I noticed was that you and Colby Bear, I think, and Keaton Klein were out there way late after morning practice, taking shots. It looked like you guys were pretty locked in, like it wasn't fooling around, like you guys were focused. I asked Braden, I said, does he do it all the time, like your coach, is this normal, that a, you know, a D1 veteran starting goalie is still out there super long? He's like, every time we have a skate, he's out there forever. So is that a thing where it's like you just love playing? Is it a thing where you're like always working on something? Kind of a bit of both. What's your attitude towards wanting to just stay on the ice and take shots for hours and hours and hours like that?
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely a bit of both. I love to go out there and play and take shots from all the guys. When you know you have a top team like them, facing those shots every day makes it kind of easier going into games. And so I like going out there stopping pucks, and then we love to play, you know, rebound and two puck after practice and stuff. So it's kind of a nice way to finish a practice on the high note and battle a little bit as well.
Hey, Josh, I want to kind of take you back to mid-February, of course, right? The last time you guys were up in the Whitney Forum, that's where you're heading this weekend. You know, you faced 88 shots in two games. Like, it was a lot of pucks coming your way. It was a split up in Flon. What do you remember kind of about those two games, the crowd? Because Hockey Night in the North is going to be pretty similar to what the playoffs were. That was a packed barn. The bounces, kind of how the Bombers play at home. What do you take away from those two games that, you know, maybe will prepare you a little bit for what's to come Friday, Saturday?
Yeah, I think, like, at first we gave them too much respect. And I think that'll be the big difference coming in this next time is, you know, we're going there and we're going there to win hockey games. We're not going to be intimidated by any fans, players, whatever. We're going there to, you know, close this thing out as much as we can. And I think to the bounces and whatever, we know what's to come. We know that, okay, these are going to happen, so we're just going to be prepared for it and use it to our advantage too. It's not just, oh, they can only use it. We can use it as well. So we're going to be looking to do that as well, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And then, you know, just the last one from me, Josh, you know, really appreciate your time. You know, I see this series as a matchup of two awesome goalies, like a great goalie duel. And I think both games really showed that you and Laser Hume put on a real show. You know, just talk about what you see from Harmon. Like, to me, it seems like, and again, I'm no goalie guy like Jeremy and like yourself, but, you know, you guys seem pretty similar style to me. Would that be accurate?
Yeah. I would say so. I'd say he's a big competitor, and I think that's one of his biggest attributes, and his athleticism too, which I feel like is part of my biggest game too, is, you know, being able to be athletic and make those big saves. And he's just like that. And, you know, he gets into position well, and he's able to track those pucks and stop them really well. So it's been tricky for us, and he's been a rock there for them.
Hey, Josh, I'm not sure if you've seen this part of the show, but we're going to go into Rory's rapid fire. Five quick questions. Are you ready?
All right, I'm ready.
Nugsy hinted on it a bit in one of his questions. The nervousness for your first Battlefords North Stars playoff game, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much were you actually feeling prior to game one?
Probably 5.
Right in the middle there. Beautiful. So you're heading on the road to Flin Flon now. Who's a player that you're rooming with, that maybe you're looking at the rooming seats and you're like, oh God, I'm not going to get any sleep. Maybe he snores. Maybe he's just an energetic guy. Who's that guy? You're like, oh boy.
I don't know. I've been with Justin Merrick all year, so he's been awesome to room with. So I haven't had any of those experiences.
I figured that they might keep the goaltenders together. So that's hopefully good for you if he's not a snorer or something in the middle of the night.
No, he's awesome.
Do you got a certain pump-up song that you have to listen to get you ready for every game like you did in your MVP season?
I wouldn't say so, no. I just kind of go through, shuffle the playlist, and that's about it.
Battlefords obviously has a luxury of talented goal scorers. Who's the guy that burns you the most in practice? As Nugsy said, you're out there for 4 hours at a time, it appears.
You obviously have Bell, who can shoot anywhere, hit any spot. But I think a guy that gives me a lot of trouble sometimes is Colby Bear. I think he really just comes down. He can pull the shot, shoot anywhere, and it's a rocket too. So I think him and I kind of got a thing going where we're always battling in practice against each other.
Final one for me here. Of course, you're in the SJHL finals. NHL playoffs are starting today. Who's your NHL playoff prediction? East, West, and then champion.
Oof. I think we just did a bracket today for our team. We just did the first round though, but East, I would have to go with, I think, the favorite, Boston. And West, I'm going to go with Dallas because they're my favorite team.
And is Dallas beating Boston, or is Boston hitting it?
I'll give Boston in seven.
All right. Beautiful. Thank you.
There you go. Your Stanley Cup playoff predictions with SaskTel Goalie of the Year, Josh Côté. Josh, thanks so much for taking the time to chat with us today. We really appreciate it. And best of luck in games 3 and 4 up in Flin Flon.
Thank you, guys. Thanks a lot.
That is Balfour's North Stars starting goaltender, Josh Côté, as his team is 2 wins away from the Cantera Seeds Cup. Coming up after the break, you will hear our conversation with Clay Sliva of the Yorkton Terriers. He is this year's RBC Community Ambassador and will also announce the Players of the Week and much, much more. This is SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms. Well, I'm pleased to be joined now by the winner of the 2022-2023 RBC Community Ambassador, Clay Sliva of the Yorkton Terriers. Clay, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And congratulations on winning the 2022-2023 RBC Community Ambassador Award. I mean, overall, what's your thoughts of winning this prestigious award?
Yeah, first off, thanks for having me, and I appreciate it. And, I think it's a pretty big honor, you know, out of all the kids in the league, you know, I'm the one that got chosen by all the people that voted for me. So, yeah, I'm pretty happy that happened.
Does it make it even more special for you because you're from Kenora, Saskatchewan, very close to Yorkton? So does that make it even more special for you?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I donated back to my hometown community and, you know, always growing up, kind of playing around Yorkton, and, you know, all my friends and family come out to watch. It was, you know, it's a little nice to give back to the community and all the people that, you know, supported me and surrounded me this whole time.
For sure. Tell us a little bit about the school that your donation is going towards.
You know, high school, it's a grade 5 to 12, you know, a small town school. There's only about 250 kids. You know, I played all my sports growing up there, went to high school there my entire life. You know, it's a great little school, great teachers, great students. You know, I grew up, lots of memories there. And yeah, I just thought I'd give back, and I'm glad they got the money. So,
for sure. What does it mean for you to give back to this, to the Kenora Composite School, and to give back to obviously not only a community that you grew up in, but to give back to an area that you grew up in?
Yeah, I think it's pretty important. You know, I think this money will hopefully go towards something good for the school. You know, if kids don't have something, hopefully they'll get it. You know, maybe something that I never had growing up, maybe they'll get, you know, to help their education or help their sports and whatever athletic stuff they do in the school. So it's nice, you know, being growing up in Kenora, it's something to give back. So
obviously giving back to the community is a strong, you know, part of playing junior hockey, you know, as part of the Yorkton Terriers. I mean, what's the last 2 years been like for you, you know, to be able to be involved in the community?
Oh, it's been awesome. You know, it's always nice to be a role model for the kids. You know, all the kids always come up to me, kind of, I'm known around the town. So yeah, it's nice. Kids always look up to you. So you got to pay attention to what you do in the community and try to be a good role model and, you know, hopefully get the town involved too. So,
and I guess finally, obviously this past year was your 19-year-old year with the Yorkton Terriers, one more year for you. How excited are you for next season, your 20-year-old season with the Yorkton Terriers, essentially your hometown team, and to be able to, you know, have one more season in your hometown area?
Yeah, it's nice. You know, growing up your entire life, you've always dreamed of playing for the Terriers. You know, getting to play my third season, you know, it's pretty cool. And so we had a tough year this year. It wasn't the way we turned out, but I think we got a pretty strong group coming back, and I'm excited to get after. You know, I wish the season would come quick soon enough already. It's kind of tough watching all the other games, but it is what it is, I guess. You know, have a good off season, and they'll get after next season.
Well, Clay, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it, and congratulations on being named the 2022-2023 RBC Community Ambassador.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, that is the 2022-2023 winner of the RBC Community Ambassador, Clay Sliva of the Yorkton Terriers. Of course, it was decided by a fan vote, so congratulations once again to Clay for winning the RBC Community Ambassador, and his composite school in Corona is going to get a sizable donation thanks to his efforts. Let's move into Players of the Week for this week, and we'll start with SGU MVP and SaskTel Goalie of the Week, and I'll let you both comment on this. I'll start with you, Nugsy. Josh Côté, obviously, we just chatted with him, but he was superb in the first two games of the series.
Yeah, two goals against on 63 shots. Guys, I don't think you could do too much better. A 968 save percentage in two games, a little small sample size, but whatever. But he's given up seven goals in his last six games, period. You know, again, not hard to do better than that. Three goals against plus in only two of 11 playoff games so far. If give this Battlefords team, three goals or more to score, they're going to win the game probably. You got to find a way to score goals on Josh Côté. That's job one for Flynn Flon. And so far, it's been a real task for almost everybody in the SJ.
Rory, anything you'd like to add?
The scary thing is that he's been even better on the road. Only allowing three goals in four games, and that's what's coming up is two more road games for Josh Côté. But yeah, no, he's just been unbelievable. You know, Flynn Flon with those power plays could have changed the trajectory, as we said, in game two, but Côté bailed him out a few times. And then late in the game when they were still pushing, even when it's 3-0, right? Flynn Flon can score, and then, you know, Côté there again. So there's no doubt that he was the MVP of the series after a 968 save percentage, as Nugsy hinted to.
Yeah, if we learned anything from The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, the only way to get great players even play even better is to piss them off. And Josh Côté was pissed after he gave up six up at the Whitney back in February. He was great the next night. Again, the Flynn Flon outshot Battlefords the next night, even though it was a better performance by Battlefords last time they were at the Whitney. But you know that kind of thing is going to sit with Josh, and the performance I expect he's going to put on, I'm not saying Battlefords is going to win, but I'm just saying the performance I expect him to put on this weekend coming up. Get your tickets now, kids.
Fair point. So congratulations to Josh, SGU MVP of the week, and SaskTel Goalie of the Week for Josh Côté of the Battlefords North Stars. Moving on, Rory, to Direct West Rookie of the Week, and Jackson Allen of the Battlefords North Stars. Goals were a bit out of a premium in game number two, but it was Jackson Allen scoring the game winner.
Yeah, and you know, he's just going right to the crease. Stop in front of the crease, as I think Nugsy hinted in his color commentary during game two. Steven Kesslering does, you know, no lie, most of the work on that play, driving around the defense, but Jackson Allen knows where to go. He's a smart rookie. He was on a little bit of a drought there, going 0 for his last four games, and then finally broke through, but just another layer of offense at the Battlefords North Stars. When you shut one line down, another line's going to pick up the slack, and it's a great play for a rookie player just to know to crash the net. That puck's going to be there with Steven Kesslering going in 100 miles an hour, and made that 1-0 Battlefords lead, and once they score that first goal, there's not many teams that beat them. So it's a big one.
It is a big one for sure. So congratulations to Jackson Allen of the Battlefords North Stars, Direct West Rookie of the Week. And Noobsy, finally, Super U D-Man of the Week. We're going to give it to Lucas Fry, the Flynn Flon Bombers. Obviously, that scary incident. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with Lucas Fry on his recovery.
Yeah, you know, if this is the last, you know, junior game of his career, obviously don't know that, but 133 career games with the Flynn Flon Bombers, and then a whole season with the Steinbach Pistons of the Manitoba League the year before that. Great captain, injured 15 minutes, as you said, into game one of the finals. A big redemption series, I guess, for the Flynn Flon Bombers, they hope. So, you know, if the Bombers need a little bit more motivation, not that they did, but if they did, they should have it now with a big number six's jersey hanging behind their bench. All of us in the SJ, the whole hockey community, is so good at rallying behind people and families, and we're with you for the Fry family. Can't imagine how you feel.
And again, if we could give out an award to all the people that were there to obviously help with Lucas right away. Outstanding job with the quick, you know, action, accountability right away to make sure Lucas was going to be okay. So congratulations to all the players of the week for this week. And of course, if you want to read more and learn more about this week's players of the week, you can head to sjhl.ca and read the article. All right, we're going to play another round of Buy It or Sell It. It's been a hot minute since we played it. So let's bring it back for the SJHL final edition of Buy It or Sell It. Let's start with this one. The Flin Flon Bombers currently trail this best-of-seven series by a mark of 2-0. Do they have a higher than 20% chance of winning this series? Rory, I will start with you.
It's a great line by the bookmakers there at 20. I like to think
you're
that
the
they...
bookmaker, you were the bookmaker, yeah.
Well, I mean, thanks for throwing that out there. Just trying to give myself a pat on the back. Well, because I'm right on that 20% mark. Look, in the end, they got to win 4 out of the next 5 games, right? What is that? They can only lose 20% of the games. But then you can factor in that it's the Battleford's North Stars you're going up against, and only one team has won 4 out of 5 games this whole year against the Battleford's North Stars. They ended up winning 4 out of 6 as Battleford's took the last game, that being the Humboldt Broncos. But this is as tall of a task as you can ask for. The one thing they do have is they have that motto that you're not out of a playoff series until you lose at home. The Flin Flon Bombers at home in the playoffs against the Battleford's North Stars over the last 5 years are 5-0-1. They've only lost once in 6 home games, and it came in overtime. So it is possible. I'm saying that, yes, there's a chance. Is it over 20%? No. I'm thinking it's under 20% just based off having to win 4 to 5 games against the North Stars, and you're going up against the Battleford's North Stars, who don't seem unhinged in any way. So I'll put it at about a 15% chance.
Moosey?
I'm selling that all day, night. Because, well, yeah, I'm saying it's over 20%. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying it's way over
20%. Oh, so you're against me. Okay.
Yeah, I'm against you 100%. And here's a couple reasons why. One, the last, in the regular season, it was, earlier in the year, obviously, but the Flin Flon Bombers were a healthier team. They had all, their guns a-blazing, but they pummeled Battleford's with shots when they were neutral site games there in Wilkie and in Battleford. Obviously, that wasn't at the ACC, but they know they can, go and play Battleford's close to home for Battleford's when they're healthier. And obviously, it's been much publicized that the Flin Flon Bombers haven't been healthy. So they have that experience. Second of all, last year, we forget, Battleford's won 2 at home in that playoff series.
That's true.
And Flin Flon won 4 in a row. 3 in the finals last year. Estevan, what did they do? They won 2. We said, how big a problem is Flin Flon? How much trouble is Flin Flon in? Oh, you know what? They weren't. They weren't in trouble. They went to Whitney and were great. Yes, game 3 was tight. Game 4 was a blowout. So 3 and then... Flin Flon's going to have all this week to figure it out, week to get healthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Braden Klimosko and Gary Childerhose are sitting at home feeling very uncomfortable right now because they got to go to the Whitney. Not because they don't believe in their team, because they do, but it's not over by any stretch.
No.
Obviously, game 3 is huge, Jeremy, but I think there's a lot still going for Flin Flon, history being the biggest one.
Still a lot of hockey.
So you buy the stock is what you're doing then? You think you're buying it, over 20%.
I think they're under 50% because it's 2-0, and that would be crazy to say it's 50%, but I'm around 40%.
Okay.
Okay, fair enough. All right, moving on. And Nugsy, you can start with this one. For the Flin Flon Bombers to get back in this series, the most important area for them to address is their power play, over 24 in their last 4 games.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, I always say, and I've said this all year, right? If Flin Flon is an underdog, how big an underdog, I don't know, but they're an underdog in this series. If you're an underdog, I always say you need goaltending, you need special teams. They got great goaltending. Harmon's been fine, no problems. 0-for-26 on the power play is no recipe for success in any hockey. Forget about the playoffs. So, yes, they're going to have to address it. I think they are. Rory, you said it there. Cote, he killed the 5th one by himself. He was unbelievable. But that's not a recipe for success for Battleford's to say Cote make the saves he made on that power play. So, I think buy it is that the power play is the number one thing.
Yeah.
We'll say buy it is the number one thing right now. Sure.
Rory?
Nugsy on this one. I didn't see that many issues in game 2. I thought they played really.
Oh. We lost Rory.
My opinions were so powerful.
I guess you knocked Rory out. But it sounded like he was going to... It sounded like he agreed with you. It sounded like...
As he would be if he was wise, yeah.
Fair enough. It sounded like he was going to agree with you, though, when it comes to buying with it. And I would also agree with you because they were the second-ranked power play in the Saskatchewan Junior mm-hmm. Hockey League during the regular season. And right now, after two games, the Balfour North Stars have definitely won the special teams battle so far between the two teams. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about how good Balfour's penalty kill has been, but Flin Flon's power play has gotten their chances. But again, as they always say, usually your best penalty killer has to be your goalie.
Yep. And on top of that, the number one thing that you need to have a good power play, in my opinion, is really good players. Like, is that sound obvious?
I mean, yeah.
A little
but
obvious. Good players. And you can draw up systems. You can make little nice little pictures on boards. That's great. Flin Flon has great players. The problem with, the Jaden Merciers and the Cole Duperreaux and the Zach Kanes and the Jeremy Trombleys of the world is not 100% healthy. And if they are getting healthy, they're just got healthy. So, Mike Reagan and I talked, and he said at the very least, it's good that they got puck touches. They got the feel. And I think by the third period in game two, they were starting to get the feel back. So don't panic, Flin Flon fans. Go to Chicken Chef. Get yourself a nice meal. Maybe watch some regular season power play goals. Yes, they're 0 for 26, but none of their top five guys or whatever were on the ice for most of that. So you'll be fine.
Before we get to the last buy it or sell it question, I also just want to try and give some time for potentially Rory to get back in the call. I do want to mention, here's the thing you touched on with the health of the Bombers and mm-hmm. some players coming back here for the playoffs or for the SJHL final, getting their reps in and everything like that. But now they're going to have a week off to also get more practice time as well. And that's going to be beneficial for the Bombers going into game three.
Yeah, there's no question about it. That's the thing that coaches are always talking about in the playoffs and regular season too. I mean, hey, we play in a league where games are very important. They play a lot of games, unlike sort of prep hockey or college hockey where they got a lot of time to work out and train and practice. In our league, we do play a lot of games. So coaches are always like, I wish I had more time to practice. Well, this schedule, Jeremy, allows Mike Reagan to draw up, hey, this is where we need to get better. This is where we can't be turning pucks over. This is a dump in that I like to see this angle into this corner, et cetera, et cetera. So you're absolutely right. I mean, I think Mike Reagan is happy with this for sure.
Well, it's time, they have this time now to kind of reset.
Yeah, mentally.
Reset mentally, emotionally, and now you can kind of get ready for game three and four. And by the sounds of it, Rory is back in the call. Have we found Rory?
Guys, I think we're back.
We're back? Maybe visually, I don't know. We'll find out. There he is. We found him.
I think.
Okay, I'll re-ask you the question. Most important area for the Bombers to address if they want to get back in this series is their power play. Buy it or sell it.
I was being the wise man and agreeing with Nukes.
There you go.
I did hear him before I cut it off. Yeah, 0-for-26 is something that now it's becoming, in the minds, I think, of the players and some of the coaches. Did it look good? I thought the power play looked fine. They just weren't able to beat Josh Côté. So I wouldn't worry about tinkering with it, but you really hope that just to get some of the weight off your shoulders, that a bounce goes in and they find a way to kick a rebound out right to Mercer and he can put it in, right? Just mm-hmm. to get the wheels going again. Because I didn't really think there was too many glaring issues in game two. I thought they played a great game. If their power play's working, I think that's now a 3-2 game, a 2-2 game, and they're right there. So, yeah, I think it's the biggest issue right now. If they play like they did in game two and their power play's working, they could win that game.
Well, and I think back, too, to that interview that our good friend Jacob Faith did with Mike Reagan during the halfway through the second period. He was pretty darn happy with his team's performance.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of positives to take away, like we mentioned earlier. And, Rory, you mentioned bounces. So it's only fitting that the final question for Biden sell it is surrounding bounces. And we all know the Whitney Forum. Jamie, you like to say there's some magic, some voodoo, whatever you want to call it, when it comes to the Whitney Forum. Will we see a famous Whitney Forum bounce, Rory?
Okay, so we're going to have 120 minutes minimum of hockey being played there.
Yeah.
I'm going to buy this one.
Yeah.
Is it going to be as crazy as Cole Duperreault's overtime finish in Game 7? No. I mean, that was a bounce of one in a million, right? But I do think something's going to pop off a back wall and then go to an unmarked guy, right? Like a Whitney Forum off a stanchion in the corner and ends up towards the side of the net. maybe not off the stanchion at the blue line and then off the post and in. Like, not that wild, but I do think, yes, I will buy it. We will see one Whitney bounce benefit one of these teams in games three or four.
Newsy?
I do want to say I respected Mike Reagan how often he said he felt bad for Cam Heurdlicka on that. I just got to throw that out there.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
Mike Reagan, I think was, everybody. Very
did, yeah. Everybody, yeah. I don't know how, yeah. But he was classy about it. All the Bombers were classy about it. Yeah, I mean, I almost wish that we had an over-under for this question.
Oh, okay.
How many funky bounces.
Do you want to set an over-under?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say obviously, I don't think it's going to be crazy high scoring, so, you know, it's not going to be nuts, but maybe like over one and a half kind of thing, and I'm going to go with, yeah, like I'm going to buy it. There's going to be like maybe two that are just kind of a funky bounce, you know, dump in on a rim, like out into the slot, and there's a guy alone in front. Yeah, funny things happen at the Whitney Forum. We've all been there. We've all seen that. And, you know, I was joking after that Cam Heurdlicka goal that Mike Reagan has been practicing his Jedi tricks to move the puck from the bench
with his
mind. Using the Force, that's right. So, yeah, I mean, I think you'd be foolish not to say there'd be some sort of goal off a funny bounce at the Whitney.
Yep, there is some magic at the Whitney Forum, to say the least. And, of course, that is where the SJHL final will now shift for games 3 and 4 Friday and Saturday. So a big weekend of hockey in the SJHL final. It's also a big weekend because it is on Sunday, the final day to purchase your tickets. Ooh. For the SJHL raffle, with your chance to win a brand new side-by-side from the SJHL. Tickets, 1 for $25, 3 for $60, 10 for $100. The deadline is Sunday. So it's a week away. SJHLraffle.ca. Get your tickets now for your chance to win a brand new Polaris side-by-side. And of course, we will be doing the live draw next week on SJHL Insider from the Polaris dealership, and someone's going to walk away with a brand new Polaris side-by-side. So very exciting stuff. Before we go, I want to get your guys' final thoughts going into games 3 and 4. Rory, I'll start with you. Obviously, the North Stars have a 2-0 series lead, but going into game 3 and 4, what are you looking at? What are your expectations? What do you expect from a rockin' Whitney Forum?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be deafening in there. So the players got to know their assignments and know what to do, because you can't hear, you know, coaches screaming from the bench and trying to, you know, twist things up. You got to know where you're going on both sides. And also, I just got to give a shout-out to, I mean, of course, you two, along with Matt and Jacob and everyone on the Sastel and Bamboo Shoots broadcast. Like, working with them is one of the funnest jobs in the planet, right? And Nugs, you can attest to that. It's a heck of a staff, a heck of a production, and the work that they all do. And I can't wait to head up to the Whitney Forum to continue doing that for games 3 and 4, because once again, as it was last year, it's been a blast.
Mm-hmm. Nugsy?
Yeah, I definitely like echo those sentiments. You know, Rusty, you are, if you're watching this, you are the best. Like, we're so grateful for everything you do. Yeah, you know what, Rory and I and anybody that experienced, I know Jacob Faith is a huge fan of the Whitney too. It's special. There's something, you know, that's sort of the romantic junior hockey experience about it that we all kind of hope and dream that we could, you know, experience all the time, I'm sure. It was special last year. It was really awesome at the ACC All's Well this past week. I think everybody there answered the bell in a lot of ways. It was fun. So, you know, I know let's stay classy. You know, maybe let's not yell during the national anthem. But I was told not to say anything about that. But I think, you know, it'll be fun. And I can't wait. And I told Mike Reagan that I can't wait. And Let's have a great time and let's do what they did last year and just make it ear splitting and it's going to be electric.
Yeah, it was an electric atmosphere at the ACC. It's going to be an electric atmosphere at the Whitney Forum, and we all can't wait, to say the least. And of course, you can catch the game on Sastel Max TV Local. And of course, if you can't, then you can watch the game also on Hockey TV as well. Before we go, though, we have to give a big shout out to all of our sponsors with the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League, because without our sponsors, this show would not be possible. Big shout out to Cantera Seed, SaskTel, of course, Capital Auto Mall, Saskatchewan Construction Safeties Association, Chevrolet, Tourism Saskatchewan, Direct West, SGI, SGU, Great Western, Young's Equipment, RBC. Thank you, thank you, thank you so much. And of course, as you can see over my shoulder, UPL for sponsoring the 2023 SJHL postseason. Of course, games 3 and 4 are set for this Friday and Saturday up at the Whitney Forum. Note the start time because, of course, it is in Flin Flon, so it will be Central Mountain time. So the puck drop is 6:30 Saskatchewan time, 7:30 if you are in Flin Flon. And if you can't watch the game, if you can't make it to the game in Flin Flon, like I mentioned earlier, you can't watch the game on SaskTel, Max TV Local, and Hockey TV. And, of course, if you can't watch the game and you can't make it out to the game, we'll have you covered across social media. Be sure to like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, subscribe to the YouTube channel. That's where you can watch all the highlights, features, the shows, and much, much more as the Battlefords North Stars have a 2-0 series lead right now in the SJHL final with games 3 and 4 set for Friday and Saturday up at the Whitney Forum. This has been another great episode of SJHL Weekly across the SJHL social media platforms.